Hello, and welcome to this podcast from Consider This. Please let me know what you think and tell others about us on social media. This podcast was originally broadcast live on Northumberland 89.7 FM. You can hear this show live every Friday at noon. Thank you for downloading this program, and I hope you enjoy it. Hello, I'm Robert Washburn, and welcome to Consider This Northumberland, a current affairs program dedicated to the issues facing our community. We talk to the people on the front lines and those behind the scenes who make a difference in your life in Northumberland County. So I'm asking you, the listener, to take some time out of your busy day to consider this. Indigenous leaders met with Ontario Premier Doug Ford recently over concerns with Bill 5, the Protect Ontario by Unleashing Our Economy Act. Alderville First Nations Chief Tainar Simpson was one of 15 chiefs from across the province invited to participate. Listen to his story as he takes us inside the meeting and see what you think about what was achieved and was it worth it. I'm absolutely delighted to have with me today Alderville First Nations Chief Tainar Simpson. Welcome to Consider This Northumberland.
Thank you for having me, Robert. I'm looking forward to today's discussion.
You attended the meeting between Indigenous chiefs and Premier Doug Ford on June 19th. How did you get invited, as not all chiefs in Ontario attended?
Yes, so it was our Grand Chief, Linda DeBosigi, who's the Grand Chief of Anishinaabeg Nation. And there just happened to be a number of chiefs in the area for the Chiefs of Ontario Annual Chiefs Assembly. So we were able to get a group of 15 chiefs together on the third day of the assembly to go down to Queen's Park to meet with Doug Ford. So the invite was for Anishinaabeg Nation chiefs only.
So did you have to raise your hand? Was it a vote? Were you picked? How did that work?
I think she put out that expression of interest, and a number of chiefs right away said that they were interested. They wanted to speak with the premier. And so in the end, 15 pretty much volunteered to go.
Can you give us a quick reprise of Bill 5, the Protect Ontario by Unleashing Our Economy Act?
So Bill 5 essentially tears back all of the protections that have been put in place over the decades to guarantee that environmental assessment is completed, to guarantee that archaeological assessments are completed, to guarantee that duty to consult and free prior informed and consent have been achieved. It's just a way to say we don't care about all of these very important regulations that have been put in place for very legitimate reasons. Basically saying we don't want to have to deal with that. We're just going to go ahead and do what we want.
There are many parts to this act. What in particular specifically has you concerned?
In particular, I'm going to have to say it's the environmental risks, the species at risk that are going to be affected. It's our archaeological villages and burial sites that haven't been discovered yet, so that might be destroyed before we even know that they exist. It's about all of the negotiations we've had with proponents in the energy industry, where we've been told that these are potentially going to be those special economic zones, where essentially they could just write us out of the picture if they wanted to, going by what this bill is stating.
So let's talk about the meeting. What happened in the meeting?
Well, the meeting was it was obviously very high level. So the chiefs, we all met in conference for a couple hours before the actual meeting, where we discussed how we were basically just going to discuss the issues on the table. It was quite a media circus when we first went in. There was cameramen, videographers, and reporters all around. So it's quite a show when we were walking. So when we went from our conference room to that meeting room, that's when all the reporters jumped in, and I guess, you know, that's probably normal on Queen's Park, but for us, that's not an everyday occurrence.
Do we have any idea, or can you share with us any of the things that were discussed around the table during that meeting?
Well, I think It's important to note that it was the day after Premier Ford made his hat in hand comments, where he said he was tired of First Nations coming all the time with their hat in hand looking for more. So we were fresh off of that. So we went in hot, I'm going to say. But then the Premier right away acknowledged that he got heated, and he apologized to all the chiefs in the room, and he said that he was going to apologize on camera afterwards. So he was able to diffuse, the obvious elephant in the room. So that opened the door to actually have some meaningful discussions for the rest of the meeting.
Were any of the concerns that you've outlined to us earlier addressed during this meeting?
They were addressed to the point where he said, they are going to consult with us. That it doesn't change anything in the relationship. So, I mean, you can say that you're going to consult and that it's all going to be done properly, but we have to see that in action before we're going to really believe it. We've seen this government in the past try to take out lands from the Greenbelt, and eventually they had to back down. So now we are wondering, we don't really see why Bill 5 was necessary. If he was really going to consult and do things properly, then there wouldn't have been a need to put Bill 5 through. So we are, hoping for the best, but again, we have to expect the worst. So we're in a bit of a holding pattern since meeting with the Premier, because he said all the right things, but that's only good enough until we see those actions play out.
Did you speak or ask any questions?
Yes, I addressed the Premier for probably about 7 or 8 minutes. I told him that I accepted his apology, but I also mentioned that I believe that it shows that he sort of misunderstands history and how Canada was formed. So I just instead of going from a business talk, I ended up having to what I felt to do was a talk about history and how we got to where we are now. I mean, I went there to talk business, but I ended up talking history. So we didn't really advance our position necessarily as much as I would have liked, but hopefully I helped him understand why we do what we do here.
What was the purpose of that then? Why would you bother doing that? I mean, if you went to discuss business, shouldn't you have discussed business?
I didn't think that it was a good idea to discuss business if we weren't on the same understanding, on the same foot, because we have a treaty relationship in Canada. We, as First Nations, we are the rights holders. We are sovereign citizens on our land. We never signed these lands away. I told Doug Ford, I said, these treaties weren't land surrenders. They should be viewed as rental agreements so that non-Indigenous people can share our lands. So I think that he feels that treaties are land surrenders when certainly they were not. We did not win or lose a war like they did in the States, where technically Indigenous people were conquered in the States, right or wrong. But that wasn't our history in Canada. We made treaties to live together under the understanding of land sharing, but under the understanding that the lands of Canada are still First Nation lands. So I think that was important to let him know that. And hopefully he digested that.
Did everyone around the table get a chance to speak?
Yes, all 15 chiefs got to say their piece. There wasn't a time limit. Some spoke more than others. Generally, it was a cordial relationship. People were able to speak their mind, let them know what their concerns were. And for the most part, Doug Ford and his team seemed to take it all in. And, by the end, like, everyone seemed to be relaxed. And just it seemed like we turned that page on the previous day's comments that he made. But again, like, you never can tell. We're never going to be feeling like we're comfortable or safe in this type of situation.
Were the chiefs effective in delivering on their central message?
I believe so. We have very strong leadership in the Grand Chief, and all of the chiefs spoke very well. They stated their concerns. So I feel like the meeting went as well as it possibly could. Everyone was on good behavior. The Premier and his team seemed to be receptive. So I think, except for repealing the Bill 5, which we knew he wasn't going to do, I guess it went as good as could have been expected.
Well, that seems really vague, because you were going in there. I mean, you've got some serious concerns in your mind. You're going in to put them forward. I mean, what were you looking for? I mean, when you guys talked ahead of time, what was your strategy coming out? What was your goal? And did it get met?
Well, I think again, the whole hat in hand comment he made the day before, in a lot of ways, that kind of threw us for a loop. So a good chunk of our meeting was about addressing that, securing the apology. So I feel like that sort of hampered our agenda. But again, our agenda was to have the complete repeal of Bill 5, which we knew he wasn't going to do in that meeting with us. That was a long shot. He definitely said that he was going to do what we wanted him to do. But again, like we just don't know how that's going to play out. We hope that he's true to his word, but only time will tell.
So did the premier say anything in particular, or did he just nod his head? How did he respond to all these things? Can you give us a sense of what he said?
He didn't necessarily respond to every chief after they were talking, but he did try to say a little bit after each chief was finished talking. There was a lot of talk about fishing in our territory, just in the way that, they wanted to go fishing. So there was a lot of, trying to be, breaking the ice sort of conversations. But overall, like, I think it went really well. He did seem to understand after each chief spoke. He was able to address the issues that they brought up a little bit. And you can tell he was definitely trying to build bridges and mend fences. So there wasn't anything that was tense or anything like that.
You've mentioned a number of times the hat in hand comment. What was your reaction when you first heard it?
Oh, goodness. I couldn't believe I was hearing that in 2025 by a premier in Ontario who claims to understand things. So it just it set everything back a bit. It made us think that the progress we've made isn't really as far as we like. It made me at that point, that's when I knew I wasn't going to be talking about business. I was going to be talking about history and context and why we are where we are at, why we have UNDRIP, why we have Section 35. Because these are still our sovereign lands. So I realized fundamentally he didn't understand that, and that it was my job to try to get him to understand that.
Okay, for a listener who may not know what UNDRIP is and the section you mentioned, can you just give us a very brief explanation of what those two things are?
So Section 35 of the Constitution Act ingrained the inherent rights of First Nations, Inuit, and Métis. So it's ingrained into the fabric of our Constitution that our inherent rights make up what Canada is and how you must deal with it legally. And UNDRIP is the United Nations Declaration on the Rights of Indigenous People. And this is a United Nations movement that a number of countries have adopted and ratified. Canada has expressed intent to ratify it under the UNDA law, the United Nations Declaration Act. So that still moving through the works right now, but we do expect that to be fully implemented. So that just means that the country of Canada would be acknowledging our fundamental rights once more, very similar to Section 35 of the Constitution Act.
Now, when the Premier was spoken and offering his apology, in that moment, how did you respond to that?
I think I was... I guess happy is the word, because we weren't sure if we were going to get an apology. There would have been no intention made about that. So we were pleased that the apology came right off the hop.
I understand I'm asking you, how did you respond to the apology?
I felt like it was a necessary thing to happen. It allayed my fears that it was going to be a very tense meeting. So I guess it was relief was what I felt, that we weren't going to have to go there and try to force an apology, because he was very upfront about it, apologized right off the hop, just said that he's very passionate and things got the best of him. So that's still not an excuse, but we were able to move forward with the meeting at that point.
One of the stated goals of the Chiefs of Ontario was to garner respect and I'm quoting here, create a genuine nation-to-nation dialogue based on First Nations jurisdiction, consent, and shared prosperity. When you reflect on what you've just said to me now and the meeting itself, did you feel you achieved this goal?
I don't know. That's up for debate. Again, I believe that time will tell. This isn't with... with Bill 5 and now with the federal government's Bill C-5, it shows that we have to always be vigilant and we always have to be prepared to step up and fight for these rights that we know we have, these inherent rights. So it means you can never let your guard down. So we're never going to be at a point where, you know, we're happy and we can say the job is done, good job, and, you know, go and relax at the cottage. It's going to be one of those things where we just, it's a never ending fight. We've known that from the very beginning, from residential schools, the Indian Act, all the terrible things that have been bestowed upon Indigenous people in Canada. We know that that's still ongoing and they're always still going to be trying to take it down in that way. So I think it just showed, you know, that we have to always be vigilant about that.
Did you report back to the Aldervik community on what took place?
On social media, I did. I let them know what I discussed, and there was a lot of reaction to the media scrum afterwards. And generally, the consensus is that you know, we can't believe anything until we see it. So everyone's still just holding their breath and waiting to see what's going to happen this summer. Are they going to try to blow through with these development initiatives, especially in the Ring of Fire? So those will be the first Nations affected if something's going to go ahead like that.
There's been a band council meeting since you attended this meeting at Queen's Park. What has been the reaction of the band council to what you did and what was said?
I think it's generally been positive. Certainly, we don't get invited to Queen's Park to meet with the Premier every day, so it was a bit of a novel thing. I think it was good that, you know, we didn't, I guess, fully embrace everything he was saying, that we had to take a little bit of skepticism to it. So I think it was generally well received. And yeah, right now we are just in that holding pattern to see what that next move is. And I don't think that, you know, when you're reacting to these type of situations, you're already a step behind. So that puts us in a little disconcerting position because we don't want to have to be reacting and be one step behind on the fate of our rights.
So how do you turn that around?
Well, there's been multiple calls for action, but that's one of those things where, you know, we want to make sure that our response is proper to whatever threat might be proposed by the government.
That sounds very vague. What specifically are you talking about?
Well, we would just want to make sure that we are consulted on all these important issues that we've been told we're going to be consulted on. And certainly we can't tip our hat to what our strategies might be. So it's one of those just have to wait and see to find out.
You've talked about the band council's reaction. What about the community at large?
I think generally the community is supportive. I haven't heard anyone that didn't think it was a good idea to meet with the Premier, despite the low expectations. We had our National Indigenous Day on the 21st, in which I spoke a bit about the meeting with the Premier, and they seemed to be very receptive to the message that I delivered. So I think the community stands behind the approach that I took.
How does your attendance at the meeting with the Premier do for the residents of Alderville? What concrete difference does it make to them and their lives?
Well, I think it's important that the Premier, that the government knows not only that Alderville will be at that table and that we have a strong voice, it's that Alderville is also just down the road. We're only an hour and a half away from Queen's Park. And I was telling the Premier that these big projects, especially the nuclear projects, they flow through Alderville, they flow through the Mississauga Nations, they flow through the Williams Treaty First Nations. So I think we sort of put them on notice that, you know, you can't just do whatever you want. And we are right here and we are watching.
Are there any decisions or plans being made to respond to Bill 5 over the summer? I mean, you won't say what you're going to do, but are you making plans? I mean, is this something that is being spoken about either around the band council table or in the community? How is there talk at least going on saying we should be doing this, we should be doing that?
Oh, yes, absolutely. So everything's on the table right now. We've heard all the opinions, and certainly everything is an option, but we have secured future meetings, especially with the federal government. So right now, negotiations are still on. We are still hoping for a negotiated solution to these issues, and we feel that that's the way that everything should be done. Nobody wants to disrupt anything that doesn't have to be disrupted, but negotiations can only get you so far, and if we don't see those concrete concessions from the governments, then we need to make sure that we are securing our territorial rights.
Because in the past, Alderville has blocked County Road 45 and taken other steps. I mean, are things like that being discussed? Are those things on the table?
At this point, I don't see that happening. I think that would hurt us maybe more than hurt anybody else. That's like shooting yourself in the foot. We have a lot of thriving businesses on the 45 that any sort of disruption to that might hurt our businesses. So I don't see that as being an option. Even if it's being suggested, I haven't heard that specifically from anybody, but I don't think that that's the type of action because that's not addressing the specific grievance that we might be having. If it's about a certain development somewhere, I think the action should be by that development. We want to make sure that our message is being heard by the people that are causing the harm.
Have you spoken to our local MPP, David Piccini, about Bill 5?
I have not. I'm actually meeting with him on Friday. Yeah, I'm sure Bill 5 will come up as well as all the other issues that affect our riding here. So when we do meet with our MPP, it's usually a broad discussion on all the different issues. We're usually on the same page about safety and health and things like that. So I expect it to be very cordial. But certainly Bill 5 is going to be one of the discussions.
Has this affected Alderville's relationship with the local MPP?
It's hard to say, because everyone's got wildly different political opinions. We're just like any other town in Canada where well, we're not a town, we're a nation, but we're just like any other part of Canada where some people vote one way, others vote the other way, and they kind of stick by their person no matter what. So that I don't think has changed that much. So people just they like their party lines and they're gonna stick with their guy or girl, whatever happens.
What should people be watching for in the upcoming days and weeks over the summer in relation to Bill 5?
Well, I think all eyes are going to be on Queen's Park. They're going to be on what the premier moves forward with. We know that there's a lot of developments that are going to be affected by Bill 5, and we're going to see which of those move forward. Are they moving forward in a proper way with that proper free prior informed consent, with all the proper engagement and consultation? Those are the things we'll be looking for. But if all of a sudden bulldozers just start moving in and doing stuff with without our consent and engagement, then that's a negative, obviously a negative situation. But if they reach out and say, hey, we want to discuss this project that we've been discussing for a long time, what are the next steps? That's a positive reaction. So that's what we're hoping to see. Again, the next move is definitely by the government.
Prime Minister Mark Carney has said that he is prepared to meet with Indigenous leaders over the summer to discuss Bill C-5, which is a completely different set of legislation. But my question to you is, are you planning to attend that meeting?
I do intend on planning that meeting, yes. So Bill C-5 is very similar to Bill 5 in some ways, and in other ways it's not, because there's two parts to Bill C-5. There's the breaking down the trade barriers interprovincially, which that's a very good idea. I would like to see more free trade within the provinces of Canada. And then there's the section of Bill C-5 that's a lot like Bill 5, and it's about taking away the regulations that have been put into effect for all these good reasons that we just spoke about. In a lot of ways, it mirrors Bill 5 that way.
Chief Tanner Simpson, I want to thank you for so much for talking to me today.
Oh, thank you for having me.
That was Alderville First Nations Chief Tanar Simpson. I want to thank my guests this week for talking to me, and I want to thank all the listeners for tuning in today. Please join me again next week when we will talk to the people on the front lines and those behind the scenes who make a difference in your life and Northumberland County. So please tune in. If you would like to listen or share this or any podcast, please check out my website at consider-this.ca. There you will find past podcasts, news, and other information about life and politics in Northumberland County. Or you can go to the radio station's website at northumberland897.ca. I'm Robert Washburn. Thanks for taking time out of your day to listen in, and I hope over the week you will continue to consider this. Thank you for listening to this podcast from Consider This. If you have any comments or would like to suggest a story, please contact me at considerthisnorthumberland@gmail.com, or you can message me on Facebook at Consider This. If you enjoyed this podcast or are looking for more news and information about Northumberland County, please check out my website at consider-this.ca. That's consider-this.ca. And don't forget to share. And again, thank you for listening and stay tuned for more from Consider This.